The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Our final hour today, and on this impact segment, we're going to cover a lot of different areas, a lot of different information. But I want to circle back to the previous hour and take one more call that's been on hold. If you're just joining us, we talked in the previous hour about this idea that somehow when it comes to voting a week from tomorrow for president, some people take the position, well, they're both bad. Or if I vote for one, it's the lesser of two evils. We've shared a lot of information, taken calls as to, at least from my view, I think that's a cop-out. So let me take a call. Ralph in Glendale. Ralph, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, good afternoon, Frank. Thank you for taking my call. I want to be honest. I am a Democrat, and I'm voting for Biden. I'm also a nurse. This is the reason why I'm voting for Biden, because there have been times where I've heard Donald Trump say that healthcare workers pop in hydrochloroquine to prevent COVID, and we've never done that before.
I know four doctors personally that have taken hydroxychloroquine as a prophylactic. Tell me how Joe Biden is the answer. What does he have? You're going to vote for him. Tell me how he has the answers to COVID-19. I want to hear your thoughts on that. What is Joe Biden going to do?
Frank, to be honest, I'm a new Christian. You're probably a PhD on our level. I'm probably on my second year. I'm trying to decide by how my Christian faith is calling me to decide. I agree with your views. I agree with other callers' views. I agree that we are in a season where deception and misinformation is everywhere. And 2 Thessalonians, from the previous caller, it clearly said that the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all the wicked deception for those who are perishing, and therefore God brings them a strong delusion. And I feel like we are living in the end times. And
well, I appreciate your overview of Scripture as a young Christian, but I asked the question directly. You say you're a healthcare worker. You made mention of COVID-19, and you're voting for Joe Biden. Tell me what he's going to do. Tell me why you would put your vote in the context of somehow COVID-19 for Joe Biden. I'd like to know.
I feel like he is going to be protecting me because he listens to science. I don't know if that I'm going to be judged because of that, but I am in healthcare, and science works in healthcare. I come in there with masks, 3 masks at a time, and it protects me, protects my family when I go home. And I'm totally frightened when I come home. I don't know what I'm bringing to my family. And to hear a person say that I will listen to the scientists, I will wear a mask, I will listen to what they say before I spout any medication to the public, that's what makes me want to listen to him. That's what makes me want to vote for him.
Well, let me share two points. Let me share 2 points of many. You're under a false pretense. When Joe Biden says he'll listen to science, the left only listens to science that verifies their point of view. That's a fact. Scott Atlas, the man is brilliant. He's got more than 11,000 from all sorts of walks of life, frontline workers, people that understand the illnesses, etc. They all support him, and Joe Biden says, oh, he's nobody. The left doesn't support anybody that doesn't support their own ideology. So the whole follow the science is a lot of nonsense. But here's one for you. You being in the healthcare industry, you being a proponent of masks, I'm sure you know about the Spanish flu and how awful that was.
True.
Do you have any idea one of the leading causes of death for the Spanish flu. Many people died from bacterial pneumonia. Mm-hmm. Do you know where the bacterial pneumonia came from? Wearing face masks.
Well, here's a quick question, Frank. If the places were switched, if Donald Trump was running as a Democrat candidate and Joe Biden was running as a Republican candidate, would you still vote for Donald Trump?
If it was if his policies were the same somehow on the Democratic ticket, of course. Because the policies are what we're supposed to take a look at scripturally, not the person. In fact, let me read something for you. It's a commentary. It may help you. And I've got a lot to cover in a short time. By the way, in terms of the left, it's a mockery of the rule of law. Barry said it in Los Angeles. We should stand for the separation of powers, not what we're seeing now, where we've got a governor who is telling us how we're supposed to live our lives come Thanksgiving. This is insanity. It's an autocratic rule by governors. No end in sight. And you're saying, somehow, Joe Biden's the answer? Mandatory mask wearing? More economic shutdown? I'm flabbergasted by that position. Let me share a commentary by a woman named Catherine Seegers. You can find her at her website, Segars, CatherineSeegers.com. Is voting for Trump the lesser of two evils? If you don't know who she is, she's an actress. She's written some stuff. I think she has a book or two. Go to her website. You'll find some of her commentary, at least thought-provoking. She begins this, quote, "I just can't vote for the lesser of two evils," said a young mom sitting across from me on my sectional sofa. Another mother chimed in, "Exactly. I can't live with myself and vote for that man." Then they highlighted the accomplishments of a third-party candidate who has no chance of winning, but helped them sleep better at night. Catherine Seeger says, "I felt the same way 4 years ago. Out of 17 candidates on a crowded Republican primary stage, Donald Trump was my 17th choice. He's toast, I thought. After the first debate, certainly there's a more dignified and experienced candidate that would prevail. I was so wrong," she writes. One by one, the candidates fell. Trump took center stage in a fight against someone I knew I couldn't vote for, not as a Christian who cares deeply about religious liberty, free speech, unborn life, educational choice, effective crime reform, poverty programs, decentralized government, free market principles, border security, lower taxes, small businesses, U.S. manufacturing, a constitutionally sound Supreme Court, and originalist judges, Israel sovereignty, affordable private health care, and so much more. By the way, side note, you think this woman's informed or what? Could this bombastic, crass, and often immature tweeter possibly be used by God to protect our founding principles and our faith? Seegers writes, "I was torn. 4 years later, many Christians are torn 4 years later. In this election, there are serious policy differences that will greatly alter the world we live in, the nation we give to our children. Three issues, of which two I will highlight myself, however, are a DEFCON 1 level of imminent danger of for believers. For every freedom-loving American, we should consider these issues carefully before voting." What are they? Number one, the Electoral College, of which I won't read her comments. I think that's kind of obvious, right? Electoral College. Somehow, if we didn't have Electoral College, the candidates would go to New York and L.A. basically, and that's it. Rest of the country wouldn't be heard. I'm oversimplifying her position, but I think it's a point well taken. Number two, the Bill of Rights. Individual rights are selfish. That is what the meme on my friend's Facebook page told me. It wasn't bluntly stated, but that was the gist of it. The praise for this radical idea was ubiquitous. The message was clear. We shouldn't be concerned with our rights. We should be concerned with our obligations to our fellow man. The post read like a woke greeting card. It sounds compassionate and generous and altruistic, but it's not. In fact, it's the opposite. Rights are about the individual, and tragically, individual rights have been denied to people of color, of women, certain racial ethnicities and religions throughout all of human history. But in many places in the West, those rights were fought for and finally obtained. They're still denied in many parts of the world, Middle and Far East as an example, where Christians are persecuted and enslaved and imprisoned, some even murdered because they have no rights. Individual rights say that even though you aren't in my family or my tribe, I cannot take from you. I cannot harm you. I cannot cancel you. I cannot silence you. I cannot oppress you. I cannot murder you. That would be a violation of your God-given rights. Obligations, on the other hand, are more about the collective. One can argue that prioritizing our obligation is more humane and godlier than prioritizing our rights, that it is more critical to protect the collective. But without individual rights, all manner of evil can and will come to the collective by way of harm done to the individual. If you threaten the collective, like so many parts of the world, or like what's done in China and in Pakistan and Nigeria, when it comes to Christians, for example, you can be oppressed, you can be imprisoned, you can be murdered, all under the category of the greater good. History is crystal clear on this point. The denial of individual rights led to the murderous regimes of Marx and Stalin and Mao and Hitler. These atrocities were made in the name of the collective good. They were made in the name of our obligations to others and to the state. They were made because these nations denied rights to the individual. Ultimately, rights protect your neighbor and yourself. They're necessary to prevent the worst parts of history from being repeated. So when someone has the mindset of, well, I have rights, that mindset protects the rights of everyone, not just their own. This is an altruistic conviction because it puts the rights of every other individual on par with your own. This is true equality. Scripture teaches us that concentrated power is a dangerous thing. As Christians, we must protect the rights of others by safeguarding individual liberty. And we must prevent the rise of authoritarianism, which occurs when those rights are denied. Catherine Seegers writes, "One candidate on the ballot this November has been clear about protecting individual liberty. The other candidate prioritizes the collective and has threatened to revoke many individual rights for the common good. But we cannot protect the common good by sacrificing the individual, for when we do, the common good ceases to be common. It becomes selective. It becomes elite, and the collective becomes a machine to garner power for the few at the expense of the many." And then there's the Supreme Court. Many of our rights, religious freedom, free speech, the right to bear arms, school choice, the electoral process, are in jeopardy. Senator Ted Cruz's new bestseller, One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Seat Can Change History, describes disturbing details of how each one of our liberties is a single Supreme Court vote from extinction. One vote, and the rights that prevent the atrocities commonplace in other parts of the world could be gone. That single vote is on the line in this election. Citizens put Donald Trump in office to prevent the takeover of our courts by unelected, agenda-driven legislators wielding unlimited power in black robes. Catherine Seegers writes, "That's why I voted for him. I was on the fence until Trump released his list of originalist judges 4 years ago. Biden still refuses to release such a list. He won't tell us who he will nominate to the Supreme Court, and that's not all Biden refuses to say. Kamala Harris has been clear that she's open to packing or adding seats to the Supreme Court to gain a majority. She said, quote, everything is on the table, end quote. Joe Biden, however, has repeatedly refused to answer when asked whether he will increase the number of Supreme Court justices in order to sway the court to the left. Washington Post recently reported, quote, Joe Biden was asked last week if voters deserve to know whether he would pack the Supreme Court. No, they don't, he said. End quote. It was a stunning answer. Biden said, quote, the American people will know my opinion on court packing when the election is over. End quote. In other words, voters don't deserve to know what they're voting for until after they vote for it. Finally, is this election about the lesser of two evils? Seegers writes, if I were on a bus hurtling toward the edge of a cliff, I wouldn't prioritize the personality of the guy who was trying to slam on the brakes. Not if the only other driver available was promising to hit the gas. Both drivers have skeletons. Both drivers have flaws. Some of those flaws are very concerning. But in this election, we must prioritize policies, not personalities. One flawed candidate heads a party that is threatening to destroy the foundational pillars of our government. Believe their threats. They mean what they say. Their progressive policy goals cannot be achieved with the voters' consent through the ballot box, so they must fundamentally change the foundational structure of our government. They must abolish the Electoral College. They must add senatorial seats to Congress. They must destroy the Bill of Rights. They must pack the Supreme Court. The other flawed candidate is brash, obstinate, boastful. But he defends the electoral process. He defends our individual liberties. He defends our judiciary. He doesn't support the common good. He supports the common man and woman. Seegers writes, lastly, I don't think we're facing a lesser of two evils kind of vote this year. I think we're facing a stop the bus from plunging over the cliff kind of vote this year. So again, I'll vote for Trump to take the driver's seat, and I'll pray that God uses him to preserve this country. Catherine Seegers, SEGARS.com. On another note, what's happening in California? California is a blue state. A friend of mine participated in a rally in Beverly Hills. He said, we're turning the state red. And I'm thinking, this state, California? It's pretty amazing, although, when you see what happened this weekend, thousands of people. They had 2,000 vehicles in a car rally, I think, in Beverly Hills alone. Beach towns. You look at rallies all across the United States, the size, where President Trump is speaking. And then there's Joe Biden. I loved what he said over the weekend. We don't participate in super spreaders. Wearing his mask. It's the end of the world, people. Doom and gloom. That's how they garner their power. You decide for yourself. Do you want to live in fear? Hide in your house? No Thanksgiving. Wear a mask, wait for the vaccine, a whole array of other things. And I'm not saying that the current president has all the answers. Far from it. But I agree with a lot of Seegers said about individual freedoms. And if you look in our state, what the governor has done, in fact, we'll come back and talk a little bit about the latest, if you don't know. But to profess to be a Christian and say they're both the same, they're both bad, or I'll vote for the lesser of two evils. Is that really the truth? Or is that a convenient way of copping out and maybe not knowing what the Bible says or not examining positional policies of each individual political party? It's not hard to figure out, but these are the times, as my brother Barry and I were talking about earlier, this is the spirit of deception. There is a spirit of delusion going on here. Well, let me say one last thing about the coronavirus. To suggest somehow that the current president is completely responsible for the amount of deaths that have happened in this country, and to broad stroke it like somehow we can't have another day with him in office, it's quite an accusation. So, I'm somewhat of a level-headed guy. Okay, so what's your position? What's your platform? What are you going to do? Mandatory mask wearing? Listen to the science? More economic shutdowns? This is the answer? When I woke up this morning to the news and the mainstream, cases are up, stock market's down. They're going to pull everything they can in the last 8 days to convince you that we can't live another day with the current administration. When you've got reputable stories of the other guy, maybe complicit, taking money from foreign entities, pretty amazing time to be alive and a United States citizen. By the way, on Tucker Carlson, in 40 minutes, he's going to have on Tony Bobulinski, extended interview. He's the guy that basically said, look, I can't stand aside anymore. I've got proof. Here are my cell phones. Here's the email exchanges. Joe Biden's been in talks for quite a while. Oh, it's just a Russian hoax. I can't believe you believe any of that. Well, if you want to live in the state of denial, I know it's popular, but see what happened Sunday night? China News Service released videos, photos. I don't even want to get specific and graphic, but it was trending on Google. Can I change my vote now? Find the stories out for yourself. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. We'll cover it a lot in the next segment. We'll begin with talk about rallies. Something happened in Arizona over the weekend with a National Football League player, a receiver for the Cardinals. He did something in the middle of a Trump convoy. Your calls are also welcome. 888-528-2557. More of this, the Frank Sontag Show, next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. We're going to talk about a number of different issues in the short time we have in the segment, but I have to read this email I just got. Now, I don't know where this city is, nor am I able to pronounce it correctly. It says, hello, Frank. I listen all the way from, it looks like Kotzebue, Alaska, 33 miles above the Arctic Circle. Back in 2016, I was going to vote for Hillary Clinton. Thank the good Lord I didn't. Quote, vote the lesser of two evils, if you will. Was I ever wrong? Since then, I've gained much more understanding of the president. I am ever so thankful he is our current president and praying he wins by a landslide. Thank you for your time on this. May Abba Daddy richly bless you and your family. Listener Amy. Thank you, Amy. Alaska. I've never been to Alaska. I kind of have this fascination, and yet if I go, it may change. Amy, thank you for the email. We made mention of some of the Trump rallies going on in Southern California over the weekend. There was one in Arizona as well. Listen to this story. Arizona Cardinals wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins stuck his middle fingers up at a Trump convoy while weaving in and out of traffic. 28-year-old NFL superstar reportedly swerved his Ferrari in between a convoy of Trump supporters while holding up two middle fingers on the I-10. Thought to have been driving to the game against Seattle yesterday when he did this. Richard Williams took part in the caravan, addressed Hopkins on Twitter, saying his son was in the car when the footballer gestured at them. Quote, DeAndre Hopkins, my 8-year-old son was in one of the cars you were swerving in and out of as you were disrupting the Phoenix Trump train drive and trying to cause an accident. Make your political statements, but don't put other people's lives at risk, end quote. Then there's others. One said, apparently weaving in and out of traffic during a Trump rally, maybe he can set the example as a public figure and let people exercise their First Amendment right. And then there's one that thought it was cute and funny. Somebody named Jared Osborne, quote, there's cool and then there's DeAndre Hopkins flipping off Trump supporters while driving a Ferrari to a game. He gets 10 catches and a touchdown. Kind of cool. Cardinals have yet to release a statement on what happened. Oh, by the way, we're going to have a commentary. The failure of K through 12 remote learning education in California in a little while. Also, speaking of California, you may have read the apocalyptic headlines last Thursday by the LA Times that a megachurch in the valley, outbreak of COVID-19. Was John MacArthur's church, Grace Community? When you read the article in its entirety, the LA Times said it was reportedly that there were 3 positive tests. 3. They run about 7,000 through Grace every weekend. Grace has been open for a few months, and I'm under representing how long Grace has been open. 3, outbreak. Health officials need to get involved. Now, I don't know what happened Sunday morning. I read one report they were going to dispatch the police. I would think if that happened, I would have read something. But this is what was posted on Grace Community's website shortly after the LA Times ran its slam piece. Quote, "You may have seen a report on the news claiming that there is a COVID-19 outbreak at our church. There is no outbreak at Grace Church. We have 3 part-time employees who tested positive and are now recovering at home, having never been hospitalized. As we enter the flu season, we encourage you to stay home if you're not feeling well or have COVID-19-like symptoms. We are going to meet for worship this Sunday to celebrate the Lord's table together." I haven't had people contact me. How are you not commenting on this? This is awful. Oh, my goodness. And then there's the Let Us Worship Tour in D.C. Remember Friday? I talked about Sean Foyt going to D.C. to the National Mall to do his concert. They were expecting 15,000, and I said on the program, look, I don't have the gift of prophesy, if you will, but I think they're going to be more than 15,000. Did you see what happened over the weekend? Yesterday, over 35,000 people gathered for the Let Us Worship Tour in Washington, D.C. to intercede for the future of America. Worship leader Sean Foyt, who has been leading the tour across the U.S. since summer, said, quote, "It was the largest prayer gathering in front of the Supreme Court since Roe v. Wade," end quote. Rally also prayed in front of the Church of the Presidents and the Lincoln Memorial before moving to the National Mall. According to CBN News, Republican Senator from Missouri Josh Hawley also spoke at the rally and prayed that the American people, quote, would feel the love of Jesus. Hawley said, quote, "America needs that love. They need to feel the love of Jesus Christ. They need that hope and joy that we have," end quote. Now here's where the article kind of stood me up a little bit. Now, I don't know this man. He runs a ministry called the International Outreach Church. His name is Dr. Charles Karakou. He spoke at the Let Us Worship event and talked about, well, the atrocities of abortion. He spoke out against it. What happened to Dr. Charles Karakou? During the event, he faced opposition as a Satanist came and poured blood over him. Now, can you imagine? My first thought was, where's security? But I know some of these events aren't very secured. But here you are up speaking to thousands of people about the horrors of abortion. You're a pastor, you're a minister, and some guy comes out of the crowd and pours blood all over you? And then here's Karakou's reaction. He goes on Facebook, quote, "Devil mad, witches are rattled, their power is broken." And then he shared, and this is a quote, "I'm going to keep the bloodstained clothes as a badge of honor for Jesus. Pleading the blood of Jesus, this movement is unstoppable," end quote. 4-hour event concluded with Foyt singing Our God Reigns. Then he extended an invitation to anyone that became a new believer to stay and be baptized after the rally. Foyt wrote on Twitter, quote, "We lit up the sky tonight in D.C. for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm forever changed. I hope you are too." End quote. By the way, on New Year's Eve, I did not know this, the Let Us Worship Tour is going to host a special gathering where? In the same location as the 1906 Azusa Street Revival, a historical Pentecostal revival meeting that took place right here in Los Angeles. That's set to happen New Year's Eve. Stay tuned on that one. 35,000 people. Super spreader. Oh my gosh, how irresponsible. People outside worshiping God. I want to be careful here not to be insensitive. Maybe they should have, and I see a screenshot from the stage, thousands of people. I don't see masks, definitely not social distancing. But maybe to appease the critics and those in government that would try to oppress people's First Amendment right, maybe they should have had a few signs, right? Some placards making political statements so we could frame it as a peaceful rally and then all would be good. The hypocrisy is amazing. You know, I even said it before, when it comes to government intrusion, it's a mockery of the rule of law. I'm not a litigator, I'm not a legal expert, I'm not a lawyer, but it's a mockery. There should be a separation of powers. And yet, many in positions of authority, Gavin Newsom specifically, we'll talk about him on the other side as well as this new commentary on the failure of education here in California with the remote learning model. But micromanaging the economy, meddling in our personal lives, mandated school business closures, requiring face masks, all of that. This is the autocratic rule by governors, and it happens because we the people let it. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about, well, Governor Newsom's Thanksgiving rules and some celebrities. Oh my goodness, I guess it hit a little too close to home. They're not having it. Some celebrities have spoken out. We'll share that. Also, Chris Cuomo is in the news, and we'll talk a bit about a commentary with the California school system in K-12 and how, by many accounts, well, it's not working. We'll do that much more as we continue in a moment. We want to honor our pastors. Every Thursday, this Thursday, will be the last one. Pastor and ministry leader, church leader, if you've not heard about our virtual pastor appreciation event, it's free. Just go to our website, whether you're full-time, part-time, a volunteer pastor, or in a position of church ministry, go to kkla.com. You'll see the banner, the virtual pastor appreciation event. Click on that, register. It's free. We want to bless you. We want to encourage you. And every Thursday, we have a brand new event. Last Thursday, I believe it was Pastor Alan Jackson and Robert Jeffress. You can find that now by going to kkla.com. And pastors, thanks for all you do to increase God's kingdom at a time when, well, there are a lot of overtures that would stifle his church. And that's not going to happen. KKLA.com for our virtual pastor appreciation event. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. I'm on. There I am. Thank you for joining us. Hey, over the weekend, Kanye West sat in with Joe Rogan on his podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience, and one of the many things that Kanye West had to share was he was thinking about running for president way back as early as 2015, but says he's decided really to focus his energies for 2024. It was a three-hour podcast. You may want to watch some of it. I watched a little. It's very interesting, but I wanted to share that with you if you did not know about it. Megyn Kelly is jumping into the fray, and as many have been critical of Governor Newsom's latest dictates about Thanksgiving, she has shared some of her thoughts on Twitter under the category Thanksgiving Insanity. California Governor's Thanksgiving Insanity must be held outside. Guests may use bathroom inside if sanitized. Masks on while not eating. Singing strongly discouraged. Max of 2 hours together. 6 feet mandated in all directions between all at a table or otherwise, is what Megyn Kelly posted along with an article from Newsweek with the specific details. Pretty amazing. By the way, some celebrities are upset now. They were once in agreement with the governor politically, and now I guess his latest with the strict restrictions on social gatherings and what's coming this Thanksgiving, a number of celebrities have shared their reactions on social media. I have to laugh. It's so ridiculous. Among the new rules, all gatherings must include no more than 3 households. Masks must stay on after eating and drinking and singing. Chanting and shouting are strongly discouraged. Comedian Rob Schneider took to Twitter to mock the governor over the rules, disparagingly calling him emperor. Schneider tweeted, "Dear Emperor Newsom, during our allotted 3-family limit this Thanksgiving, if my aunt comes over, can I throw her a slice of turkey from the window? We promise not to sing. We'll all just whisper." And then he wrote, "Please recall Gavin Newsom." Full Metal Jacket actor Adam Baldwin, who's not too pleased either, said, quote, "These rules are ridiculously unenforceable," end quote. Country singer Cody Wolf, who I freely admit I don't know, that's me, that's how ignorant I am. Cody Wolf may be huge, I don't know, tweeted, "Hey, Governor Newsom, as a new California resident, I live in a condo, so therefore I can't have my Thanksgiving outside, but it's okay. I'm coming over to your place to spread some holiday cheer all over your dining room table." He also added, "Oh, and as by legal right of the U.S. Constitution, I'm not wearing a mask as I deem it to be unlawful and unconstitutional. You should be impeached," end quote. Actress Justine Bateman, quote, "Gavin Newsom, no one is listening to you anymore. You've lost your mind," end quote. Adam Carolla, quote, "How many of you sheep are going along with Newsom's Thanksgiving protocols?" End quote. And then not everyone is against Newsom's latest rules. Food writer Jenna Golden asked why people were not concerned with the health. It says with the help, but it's obviously health of others during the pandemic. She tweeted, quote, "I get that Governor Newsom's Thanksgiving rules are far from ideal. I want to spend the holidays with my family too, but I don't understand when people decided that their own individual freedom was more important than the collective health of others," end quote. It's easy to buy the lie if that's all you rely on is what the mainstream pounds us, fear-mongering 24-7. Then there's a commentary at CaliforniaGlobe.com. We'll leave it with that. Evan Simon is the author of a piece called "The Failure of K-12 Remote Learning Education in California." With California school districts being 2 months into a new semester of COVID-19 forced distant learning, many educators, parents, students, and administrators around California have said that by and large, it's not working. Some studies and surveys have found that as many as 3 out of every 4 students are now regressing in their studies. Since the beginning of the school year, the Globe has received numerous emails from and have reached out to many involved in the K-12 education process. While there have been some positive results, most said that children are not retaining what they've learned as much compared to in-school learning. Other negative aspects, such as the difficulties of internet-related learning, have harmed education in California. Experts have said that remote learning can be effective, but only if students have consistent access to the internet and if teachers have the right training and support for online learning. Quote, teaching is already a stressful job. This only is making things worse, end quote. School districts nationwide have also been finding that younger students and those in special education programs are being hurt the most due to the need for more attention from teachers in specialized ways. California has been no exception. During calls to many school administrators, the vast majority named special education students as those hurt the most. With normal students struggling and special education students hurting even more in schools that have gone completely remote, school districts are noticing huge drops in enrollment. Many districts like Berkeley have noticed between 5 and 10% drops already in enrollment. Private and Catholic schools, who are better equipped and better funded for remote learning, have been flooded with new applicants this year, as have many homeschool programs. Principal for one private school in a Los Angeles suburb emailed the Globe that their admissions rate has gone from 70% 2 years ago to 10% this year. With grades also declining and parents feeling an increasing burden and fatigue from having their children at home, remote learning in California is not only not working, but will also most likely lead to large education changes in the coming decades. One expert said, quote, we need kids back in class now. We can make school safe for them to return to, even if it's partial, like some districts, but all we've gotten are no's, and it's only hurting them as well as us even more. Yeah, the political elite, no, 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 no. Listen to us. We have the answers. That's kind of the last thing I'll say. You know, it's popular to blame the current president. The left does it all the time. Joe Biden said he's responsible for 220,000 deaths. Well, what? What have the medical experts said? Mr. Fauci, right? Masks on, masks off. Says this, says that. Follow the science. A lot of scientists. Trump went along with a lot of the prevailing science. And look, I don't have to defend him. This is serious. But the alternative, Joe Biden has talked about mandatory mask wearing, follow the science, clearly economic shutdown. That's the answer? For me, the answer is in large part, open up all avenues of thought, medically speaking. Embrace diverse alternative views of this. Not just the one prevailing view that the left embraces and then shuts down people like Scott Atlas or Vladimir Zelenko or the White Coat Summit in D.C., Dr. Simone Gold. Tens of thousands of medical experts say Scott Atlas is right. But yet again, what you'll hear from the left and who could be our next president, Joe Biden, doom and gloom. It's going to be a dark winter. It's all bad. We're going to change everything. Yeah, they will, but not for the better. Christian, wake up. Vote biblically, but please vote. This is the Frank Sontag Show.